Congressman Elise Stefanik is from New York's 21st district. She's a Republican in office since 2015. Her district is immense, huge. How do you go back and forth? How do you see everybody?
It's a lot of time in the car. So I've been back the two previous weekends. We've had two legislative work weeks, and 2 weekends ago I had the opportunity to go up to Clayton. In that case, I fly into Syracuse and then drive up. I participated in a Save the River conference focusing on Plan 2014, which is a very specific issue related to the St. Lawrence River. And last week, I flew to Albany and drove to Essex and Franklin County for a hospital tour. So I go back and forth, and I spend a lot of time in the car. And my staff does an excellent job getting around to the 12 counties as well as my events in the 12 counties.
Now, Elise, if I may call you that, there is a plan, we know about it, from Democratic resistance advocates to load meetings, town meetings. And there are some congressmen who just won't do them anymore because they don't want to put up with it. Or as John Faso said to me the other day, I wasn't born last night. What's your take on that?
You know, I look at my first term. I participated in over 500 district events. These are coffees with your congresswoman, farm tours, business tours, going to schools. I'm going to continue doing that and making myself available. I do think the nationalization of town halls is not a step in the right direction. I think we should be having productive conversations. So what I've done in my district, as some of these groups and organizations affiliated with the Democratic movement nationally, as they've demanded for town halls, I'm actually inviting them in for meetings. I want to sit down and actually talk to them about, you know, their concerns regarding the Affordable Care Act, answer any questions they may have on immigration or on whatever issues, actually. So we're working through that process. We've gotten a lot of positive responses for that request and us actively reaching out to them to request meetings. And I think that's the best way and most productive way for me to bring their concerns into consideration before these votes come before Congress. But as I am crafting my legislative portfolio, that's where I get my best ideas. That's where most of my bills have been, where I've come up with the ideas from conversations with constituents.
So I know you have a lot of farms in the district, and I know farms are important to you. Can you sort of fill us in on what's going on with the farming community, what they want, what you can do?
Absolutely. I represent quite a few farms in my district. I have a lot of dairy. We have apples. And then we have sort of new generation farmers who are focused on organic farming. We have maple. This will be an interesting term in Congress because we will renegotiate the farm bill in 2018. One of the key concerns is milk pricing when it comes to my dairy farmers. Some of the provisions in the last farm bill, like the MPP program, which is how farmers, it's an insurance program basically for milk prices. Because milk prices are so low right now, it's become clear that program hasn't worked effectively. So I was just in contact with a farmer today about how we can restructure that and reform that going into the farm bill. I think some of the labor issues are incredibly important.
Wait, Elise, let me go back to that. If I may just interrupt for a second, let me go back to the insurance and the milk farming, because I don't think most people understand what that's all about. So the program has to be reformed in order to give farmers a chance of making it. And what are some of those reformations?
Yes. So the MPP program is the Milk Margin Protection Program. And the purpose of it was if dairy prices go in cycles and when they are low, farmers will buy into this protection program as a form of insurance to receive payment back. It hasn't functioned that way, and we've had pretty historic low dairy prices, low milk prices for our farmers. We need to reform that so that it actually is a functioning insurance program and that our farmers can have more certainty. Because, again, this is such a huge economic driver in the district. It has a big impact whether farms continue to exist or where some farms have had to close or sell their cows, which is not what you want to see happening. That needs to be renegotiated in the upcoming farm bill.
So is there a coalition that you work with, or do some states have basically agribusiness as opposed to small farms?
I have an agriculture advisory team. It's made up of two members from each of the counties, one dairy, one non-dairy. I work with the New York Farm Bureau. We work with Cornell Cooperative Extension. I have very good relationships with a number of farmers directly in my district who I've gotten to know. I've toured their farms. Some of the organizations that help plan county fairs, I'm in really close contact with because that's so agriculturally focused in my district. There are two other important legislative issues that I'm focused on that I want to make sure I mention. One is making sure that our H-2A program is managed by the Department of Agriculture and not the Department of Labor, because that's a farm worker program, and I think USDA will have a better understanding of that. And second is the importance of broadband. We talk about that a lot when it comes to economic development broadly in the North Country, but farms are in the 21st century today, and I have been on farms where they need access to broadband because they're using technology to keep their farm functioning. Sure. So I've introduced legislation, the Precision Farming Act, to provide preference basically to farms when it comes to grant and loans opportunities for rural broadband.
Are you finding that you have a coalition that wants to be where you are, or are you getting resistance?
It's an interesting coalition. Agriculture issues are different than other issues because many of them are in rural communities. So I work very effectively with Peter Welch from Vermont on farm issues.
Sure.
This is an area where I worked with Chris Gibson. I know that I'll work with John Faso on this because he has quite a bit of ag in his district. But it's not partisan the way other issues are. The ag coalition is truly made up of Democrats and Republicans who have big farming communities in the regions they represent.
You know, we keep hearing about bringing broadband to a lot of people, but sometimes it drags awfully slowly. Are you frustrated by that?
I am frustrated by the pace and the slowness, although we are making incremental progress. What I've tried to do is meet directly with the providers, meet with the local elected officials, provide incentives, do what we can at the federal level to support the state and local initiatives. I've sat in my office with maps of what has broadband, what doesn't have broadband, how can we put providers in touch with localities and municipalities. So, yes, we need to move faster. The governor's initiative with broadband, we need to make sure that continues to move forward because that has been slower than I and some of Dan Steck, who is the assemblyman in a portion of my district, has been very outspoken in wanting to see results when it comes to the broadband program.
Well, it's always great to have Elise Stefanik with us, Republican, New York 21st District, been in office since 2015 and still, remarkably, remains the youngest person in the United States House of Representatives, and we're very proud to have her there. Thank you so much for being with us, Elise.
Thanks, Alan.